Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
Welcome to each and every one of you who came out to our service today. I want to welcome you online that's going to watch this probably tomorrow, because I believe this message is going to impact lives, not just sitting in the room, who are watching out there on YouTube too. So I want to welcome you today too. Today we celebrate. We celebrate Jesus' sacrifice. We celebrate an empty tomb. We celebrate his victory over death, and we celebrate, come on somebody, salvation. Because we had no hope until Jesus came out of the grave. It is finished and he is alive. But I want, you know what? I'm going to do this. Lord, right now I ask you that these words not be my words, even though I've written them on the iPad. But I pray, God, that you would pierce the hearts of someone, including myself today. Father, right now, I ask right now that there would be ears to hear and eyes to see, and God, a heart that's open to what you want to say today, in Jesus' name. We celebrate all of those things, but here's the question that we don't always ask on Easter. What does the resurrection mean to people who fail Jesus? I'm not talking about the strong. I'm not talking about the faithful. I'm not talking about the ones who get it right. I'm talking about the ones who blew it. Let's be honest. A lot of us sitting in this room fit that category, right? And sometimes in life we blew it, didn't we? Even those that are strong in the faith and are, they fail sometimes, right? Any perfect people in the room? If you raise your hand, I'm going to pray for you right now. We're going to stop. Because they're not. There's no perfect people in the room. We feel strong one minute, then we're scared the next minute. We pat ourselves on the back and we say, good job, good job, good job. And then we beat ourselves up. Come on, anybody do that? You're good today. And all of a sudden, man, you're terrible. You ever talk to yourself? Anybody else besides me? Sometimes I talk to myself. Sometimes I don't know. I should just keep quiet. But I tell myself, Richard, you're so dumb. But sometimes we tell ourselves we do good, and then we fail. The title of this message is, Two Disciples, Two Decisions. Before resurrection morning, there were two men who failed Jesus in his darkest moment. Note, both of them were chosen disciples. They were not outsiders. They were not strangers. They were part of the 12. They were part of the inner circle. They were Jesus' main crew. They were his boys. But proximity to Jesus doesn't always mean having a relationship with Jesus. Proximity doesn't always mean intimacy with Jesus. You can sit in church. I know it's a little different Easter story this morning, but this is what the Lord put on my heart. It's what he put on our hearts a few weeks ago too. You can sit in church, you can sing the songs, you can listen to the message, you can even serve, and you still might struggle with surrendering to Jesus. Two men, two different responses. One betrayed him, one denied him, one walked away in despair, and the other ran to him in repentance. Their names were Judas and Peter. Let's first look at Judas. Again, Judas was not an outsider. He walked with Jesus. He ate with Jesus. He told stories with Jesus. He camped out with him. He had personal contact with Jesus. Think about this. He heard every sermon and he saw every miracle Jesus did. Yet he still betrayed him. Why? John 13:2 says this. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. He started listening, listen to me. He started listening to the wrong voices or to a different voice. He stopped listening to the voice he'd walked with for 3 years. He started listening to a different voice. And listen, Judas did not fall overnight. It was a slow fade. Small compromises can lead to life altering decisions. A ship does not sink because the water around it. It sinks because the water that gets in it. It's the small leaks over time that cause your boat, that cause your life to sink. And he began little by little by little. And listen what we do. We sink with every compromise. Come on, listen to me. We sink with every bad choice. We sink when we're disobedient. We sink when our ego gets in the way and we think we got it all together. Come on, there was a time when I thought I had everything together, but God had to put me in a lower place and say, no, you don't. You don't have it all together. Judas allowed things to his heart like greed, disappointment, unmet expectations. He said, this guy is supposed to be the king and he's being a servant to all. So he had unmet expectations. And what it did is it hardened his heart. He had access, but he did not allow transformation. He was present, but his heart was really not there. And now he was trapped in his choices. And over time, those choices, those decisions finally sunk him. Remember the Friday crowd I talked about last week? They were looking for something to arrest Jesus on. They were looking something to convict him and condemn him. They were looking to get Jesus. And because Judas had greed and he had money as his motive, 30 pieces of silver was his price. That price was the worst decision he ever made in his life. Can I tell you, there's nothing wrong with having money. The problem is when money has you. There's nothing wrong. Y'all can throw some 20s up here if you want to. It's good. Nothing wrong with having money, but when money has you and you feel like you have to always be battling over... Come on, there's some people right now that just money has them such a grip on them, they can't release anything. There's nothing wrong with it, but Judas became so consumed that he became a part of the Friday crowd. Matthew 26. Now his betrayer, Judas, had given them a sign saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and he said, greetings, Rabbi. And he kissed him. Do you know Rabbi means teacher? His heart had already changed so much that he wasn't the Lord anymore. He was a teacher. What he'd already done, he'd already betrayed Jesus in his heart. Now he would betray Jesus to the men and to the crowd. Not with a sword, but with a kiss. Usually a kiss is a sign of a symbol of affection and love, but now it became a symbol of betrayal. He was close to Jesus, but oh, so far away. You can come in close and still not have the heart of Jesus. Judas finally realized what he had done. He saw what he did. And when he seen Jesus being convicted, and he saw him being condemned, he did feel remorse. Look at Matthew 27. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful. And he brought back, sometimes there's things you just can't bring back. Come on, somebody. He brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders and saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. Why do we care? You're the one who made the mistake. And he returned the money and he did admit he had sinned. He felt regret. Regret says this, I hate what I did. Regret says, I'm sorry. But true repentance says, I hate what I have done to my relationship with Jesus. Come on. Unrepented sorrow says, I hate what this has done to me. So many times we repent, but we're repenting because we're paying the consequences of our choices. True repentance is saying, God, I messed up. I made the mistake. I did what was wrong. God, I need you to forgive me for it. But so many times the pity party takes over. I'm going to go on before I step on some toes. But instead of turning back to Jesus, he ran to the priests. He confessed to the wrong people. And he tried. You ever try to undo what you did? Anybody ever make a mistake and you try to undo it? Anybody ever do something and you try to undo it and you make it worse? Then you're like trying to undo something you undid, and that's going to get me tongue-tied here in a minute. What he needed to do was he needed to ask for forgiveness, have true repentance, and run to Jesus, not away from Jesus. But that's not what he did. His sorrow led him to despair. His sorrow led him away from Jesus. And remorse without hope becomes self-destruction. Because of that regret, he ended up hanging himself. And like us, we may not physically hang ourselves, but metaphorically, we do it for all the time. We do it all the time with shame and regret and disappointment. And we pay a high price because we do that. The best option would be to humble ourselves and just say, God, I messed up. I was wrong, and repent. Now let's look at Peter. Peter also walked with Jesus. He was bold. I like Peter because he had a big mouth, kind of like me. He was outspoken and he was passionate. He said this in Matthew 26, 33. And Peter declared, even if everyone, listen, deserts you, I will never desert you. And yet he did. On the night Jesus was arrested, a servant girl questioned him. Someone in the crowd recognized him, and another of them said, you were with him. And Peter said this in Luke, but Peter said, man, I do not know what you're saying. Immediately while he was speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the words of the Lord and how he had said before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Three times Peter denied even knowing Jesus. Listen, can I tell you something? It's easy to have a big mouth. It's easy to be bold in safe environments. But when the pressure truly comes, what's in us usually comes out of us. Peter wasn't ready for that pressure. He wasn't ready for the weight of that moment. And the third time the rooster crowed, do you all remember, do you have a mama or daddy who used to give you that look?
Yeah. They didn't have to whoop you.
They didn't have to do nothing to you. It was just that look knowing you better stop it now or you might be dead tomorrow. That look that he gave. The word says something powerful. It says Jesus turned and he looked at Peter. Imagine this. Not with anger. Not with rejection towards Peter, but with a knowing look. After that look, Peter knew exactly what he had done. Look at Luke 22. So Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Here's the thing. Jesus, failure hits hardest when you realize you've let someone you love down. He saw the look in Jesus. Come on. He realized he didn't just break the rules. He broke somebody's heart. He didn't just break the rules. He broke somebody's heart. Because remember, Jesus was human. He felt what we felt. I'm sure in that time he was like, man, I have poured my life into him. Come on, we've had some people that have left our church before and said, man, we have really poured our lives into them. And so we know, maybe not in this instance, but we know the rejection that you feel. Jesus felt that. And when he gave Peter that look, Peter knew he had broken Jesus' heart. Judas and Peter both failed, both sinned, both felt the weight of it. So what makes the difference in the outcome? Judas, overwhelmed by guilt, believing there was no way to come back. Come on. There was no way Jesus or God could ever forgive him. That his sin was too great. Come on, we have some people that think their sin is too great, that God can't love them anymore. He ran away from Jesus. It says in Matthew 27, then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple, and he departed, and he went out and hanged himself. Peter did this. He recognized his fault. He recognized his failure. He didn't abandon his faith, and he genuinely was repentant. He did not get it right immediately, but he didn't walk away forever either. The word says he ran towards the tomb when he heard Jesus was alive. It says he ran, he got outran. But he ran towards the tomb, ran towards Jesus. I love this quote. Direction matters more than distance. It's not how far you've fallen, but it's the direction you're moving towards while you're getting up. There are people today who feel like Judas. I've gone too far. I've messed up too bad. There's no way of coming back from what I did. There's no way I can come back from this. And what you do is you replay in your mind. You carry the shame. You carry the guilt. You carry the regret. You carry the weight of everything that you've done in your whole life. Can I tell you, let Easter say this to you. Despair is not your only option. The fact that you still care shows that you still care. The fact that you're still feeling that way is a good thing sometimes, because you know you're not dead inside yet. Let this encourage you. Jesus didn't teach that failure puts you beyond his reach. His message shows that no matter how far away you are, forgiveness is only an ask away. Don't you love God? Oh, you got it. I messed up, God. How many needs to be repentant? How many needs repentance every day? Oh, y'all a bunch of saved people up in the house. This is good. Now for the Peters in the room. You love Jesus, but maybe you're inconsistent with that love. You've had moments when fear has won. You have moments when you wish you could take those things back. I tell you today, let Easter say to you, what matters isn't that you failed, it's what you do with that failure. Failure does not disqualify. Come on, I'm trying to help you out this morning. Failure does not disqualify you. It actually becomes part of your faith growth. Come on, John Maxwell, her favorite, says you got to fail forward to success. A lot of times we look at failure as being death or being over, but sometimes when we fail, we learn from that failure. Or we should. Richard, you should have learned from a few things. Peter didn't deny Jesus. Peter did deny Jesus. But here's the thing. That wasn't the end of his story. Peter went on to do great things. And Demetrius is going to be preaching next week about Peter. He's going to talk about some things that Peter got restored on. Here's the challenge that we face with failure. Here's the challenge that we face with adversity. What will you do with it? Will you run to Jesus? Or will you walk away from him? Both of those are choices. The resurrection of Jesus is life-changing. You know why? Because Jesus said, "It is finished." It's life-changing because the tomb is empty. It's life-changing because Jesus, come on, you got to get excited in the room today. Jesus is alive. And because he's alive, sin and shame and regret and your worst moment does not have to get the last word in your life. Come on. So many times we let the enemy get the last word. Jesus said, "It is finished. It's done." Jesus today is still calling people back to him, just like he did Peter. And just like he could have done with Judas, the choice today is yours. Don't stay where you fell. Don't sit in your regret. Don't believe the lie that it's over. Can I tell you this morning, God is the God of comeback. Come on. He was between two thieves. And he said to one of them looked at him and wagged his head and was cursing Jesus and saying all kinds of bad things. "If you can get us off here, get us off here. Who are you, the king?" The other one did this. He said, "I sinned. I'm guilty. I did it." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Because of your heart, this day, you're going to be with me in paradise." Come on, it's never too late. We only get too late in our own minds. Your sin is not too great. Your mistakes are not too great. If you have breath, you have hope. This morning, if you would stand with me, please. Your comeback can start today. If you've never given your life to Jesus, just remember He went to the cross and He died for you. In doing so, He shed His blood to cover your sins. As far as the east is from the west, to be remembered no more. And here's what Jesus is saying to you this morning. When you keep rehearsing, come on, listen to me. When you keep rehearsing what you did, Jesus is saying, I don't remember that. Why you keep bringing it back? Sometimes resurrection means we keep bringing dead things in our own lives back to life. And Jesus said, I killed that a long time ago. Why do you keep talking about it? You have to make Jesus your Savior. And if you've never done that before, it starts out by being just completely honest with God, saying, Jesus, I've sinned. I'm going to ask y'all, we would just bow your heads with me. Don't nobody looking around, please. If you've never given your heart over to Jesus, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to ask you to open up your hearts and ask you to do something else too. Nobody's looking around. If you would, just slip up your hands. Let me see those hands. I see some hands. I see some hands. Today is your day. Here's the simple thing. You can do it sitting in your seat. You can do it standing around the altar. But you say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. We try to complicate things so much when all we have to do is come to Him with a repentant heart and say, God, I've messed up. I've made mistakes. Jesus, please forgive me. I believe that You are the Son of God. I believe You raised from the dead. And I believe that You can take care of this in my life. I need You in my life for the rest of my life. These altars are going to be open. There's going to be someone on the left and right to pray with you this morning. We'll be down front if you need prayer. But I'm also talking to the people this morning that have made some mistakes, and that's a lot of us. But I'm talking to the people who feel like, I can't come back from that. It's too much. I've went too far. Can I release you this morning? Sometimes that walk from back there to right here or from right there to right here can free you up. You've never gone too far. The prodigal son's my favorite story because it's my life. He's always standing there ready and waiting with his arms open to say, come on back. You don't have to have it all together. Just come back the way you are. This morning, if you don't know Jesus and you want to accept Him into your heart, starts by just saying yes to Him. Starts by just saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins. And if you've walked with Jesus, maybe you've walked away a little bit, it's your day to come back home in Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.